So we're on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, and we read the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amid Aleph on the bottom, and let's see what we're up to on Yud Aleph Amid Beis. We are up to Omar Rami Bar Chama. Okay then, so let's see if we can find the place. You'll notice that the daf has the thin lines, the skinny lines, and then the wider lines. So if you're going up from the wider line, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, Omar Rami Bar Chama. Now, in order to appreciate Rami Bar Chama, we have to backtrack a drop. And again, the subject of our discussion is whether she deserves a ksubas masayim as a besua, or a ksubas mana as a ba'ula. And the discussion focuses on the question of a mukat eitz. A mukat eitz is a woman who lost her besulin through some sort of an episode that took place, but she never had be'ula. In such a case, Rabbi Meir says that since she didn't have a ba'ila, she still remains a basula. In other words, according to Rabbi Meir, she doesn't have to have the basulim intact. She still retains her status and her ksuba as a basula. And the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that this is a case where she had a ma'isa, and that ma'isa removed her basulim, even though it wasn't a ma'isa bidei Adam. But nevertheless, the absence of a besulin is enough to lower, to reduce her status as far as ksuba, from a ksubas mana, from a ksubas masayim down to a ksubas mana. Now please keep in mind that the Chachama would not say that every time she loses her besulin, we downgrade her to the status of ksubas mana. And Rav, in interpreting the Chachamim, says that if a katan has bia with a gedola, which means that he's less than 9 years old, she's already 3 years old, then according to the Chachamim, she still retains her ksubas masayim, despite the fact she's already a gedola, meaning she's already three, and her basula will not return once they're removed. But nevertheless, she didn't have a bia of a maisa. A maisa means like the case of Mukareitz. Here, she had something which is called Basar, let's say, according to that Shita. So, let's just see what Rami Bar Chama wants to know. Okay. For 1 second. So I said to you that according to Rav... No. Wait, According to Rav, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, what I just told you was Shmuel, and I confused Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, the Chachamim would hold that we lower her status to a ksubas mana in one of two cases. Either in a case of mukar eitz, or in a case of katan habal agdol. Because in both cases she had a maisa that removed her psul. In contrast, there's a case of a bogeris. A bogeris means that with the passage of time, in a natural way, she loses her psulin. She still gets a ksubas masayim. She didn't have any maisa at all. According to Rav, if she had a maisa of either a katan who had a relationship with her and he removed the psulin, and how much more so in the case of mukareitz, she loses her ksubas masayim and she only gets a ksubas mana. Because in both cases there was a maisa that was done. As opposed to the case of bogeres, where she gets older and her psulin just disintegrate with the course of time, in such a case she still gets ksubas masayim. That's according to Rav. Shmuel says that even in the case where there was a maisa, but if it was a katan who's less than 9 years old, she retains her status as a psula and she gets ksubas masayim. And the reason for that is that's called basara, that's called basar. And he writes that ain, what was the language of Shmuel here? Ain mukat eitz bebasar. In other words, a be'ila of an adam, of a person, is either a be'ila or it's not a be'ila. In the case of a mukat eitz, that's considered a maisa, that's considered a serious mice. Okay. Now we start Amar Rami Bar Chama. Do you have that? Machlokes Kishehikir Bo. The machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. No, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit slow, I'm getting into it. The machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim with regard to Mukat Eitz. And Rabbi Meir says she gets Ksubas Masayim, the Chachamim say she gets Ksubas Mona. That machlokes, says Rabbi Bar Chama, only applies in the case of Kishehikir Ba. Meaning at the time of the marriage, she notified him that she had this irua, you know, this episode, and she lost her psulin because she was mukat eitz. The Rabbi Meir medami leila bogeres. Rabbi Meir says that her status is like a bogeres, meaning she didn't have a bias adam, and therefore she still retains her status as a psula. Rabbanan medami la lebaula. The Rabbanan say no. Once a maisa happened and the habsula were removed, she has the status of a ba'ula. But again, this is all hikirba. Hikirba means where all the cards were on the table before he went into the marriage, and he knew, he was well aware of the fact that he would not find basula. Avalo hikirba, if let's say she withheld the information, and he went into the marriage anticipating that she would be a full-fledged besua. Lo and behold, she tricked him a little bit. And he finds out, he discovers that she had a mukat eitz situation. Is divrei hakol v'lo klum. What does it mean, divrei hakol v'lo klum? She forfeits her ksub entirely. Now, B'li Neder, as we go along, we'll try to explain what that means. You know, we've been discussing whether she gets Ksubas Masayim, whether she gets Ksubas Mana, 200, 100. But now we have a third possibility, that she gets zero, she gets zippo. Now, what does that mean? If he's going to divorce her, fine, then I can understand it. Because once he divorces her, the question is, does he pay the Ksuba, does he not pay the Ksuba? Here that she fooled him and withheld the information that she's a mukat eitz, Rabbi, according to Rabbi Bar Chama, she loses her ksuba entirely. He gives her get, and he doesn't pay the ksuba. But let's say he wants to remain married to her. So then, I'm not sure what happens. That's what we're going to have to figure out as we go along in the sugya.
If you remain married, the ksuba doesn't come into effect. I mean, how does the money come into effect?
Later down the line.
Say it one more time. If what?
If you remain married, how does the money...
So then, he can't live with her without a ksuba. But she lost her ksuba. So how do we work this out?
The ksuba or just the financial part?
Right. When I say ksuba, I mean the mona masayim of a ksuba.
So the ksuba is still in place, just the masayim is...
Well, the ksuba is essentially the mona masayim. I mean, what else is involved in the ksuba?
I don't know.
No, nothing else. I mean... Again, our ksuba is an embellishment. You know, he should respect her and love her and all that. But ksuba itself, in our context, is one of masayim.
So once she loses the masayim, so then they're not, can't be married. Is that
they can't be married because, if you recall, Chachamim instituted the one of masayim as a kind of albatross around his head. You know, hanging it over his head, that he shouldn't just get angry at her and throw a get in her face and say, you know, we're divorced. He has to realize that divorce has repercussions. He's going to have to pay a very handsome sum of money. So the Rabbanan don't recognize a marriage without a ksuba. But yet here, she lost her ksuba. Why did she lose her ksuba? Because she misled him and withheld the information that she was a mukat eitz.
But they remain married.
Oh, so again, that's why I say, the simple case, if I want to just, you know, hide behind simplicity, I would tell you is that he's going to give her a divorce. That's it. He's absolutely outraged. I don't want to live with a woman who's deliberate about the fact that she presented herself in one way, in one light, and she misrepresented herself. And therefore, let me give her a get. Now, again, we're going to have to get into this, but there is one possibility that says he doesn't even have to give her a get. The whole marriage is completely null and void. Mm-hmm. Okay, but again, you'll have to give me a few minutes here because the sugya has to sort of... present itself. What word am I looking for? Has to reveal itself as we go along. Okay. So let's see what happens here. Rabbi Meir, Amai Midami Lo Libogeres, Nidamye Libu'ula. Rabbi Meir says that if she loses her besulin due to this episode, I call it, for lack of a better word, of Mukat Eitz, she doesn't lose her ksuba. Why not? Because she's like a bogeres. A bogeres loses her besulin with the passage of time as she matures. Nevertheless, she collects a ksubas masayim. Here's also like kaviyachal a bogeres situation. She didn't have any be'ila. Nobody had a relationship with her, and therefore she's like a bogeres. And Rabbi Meir basically says, look, from the fact that a bogeres gets mosayim, and nobody questions that, you see that even if she doesn't have besulin, she can still collect mosayim. So the Gemara asks, but nedamye lebu'ula, maybe the case of Mukar Eitz should not be compared to bogeres, because in the case of bogeres, she loses her besulin without any sort of maisa that happened. Nothing happened to her. But in the case of Mukar Eitz, something happened to her. So why not equate her and the status of a Mukar Eitz to that of a Bu'ula? The Gemara says, Bu'ula is avid ba maisa bidei adam. In the case of a Bu'ula, what removed her besulin was a tashmish with a man. Ha, but here in the case of Mukar Eitz, lois avid ba maisa bidei adam. There was no human intervention to remove her besulin. She smacked herself up against a hard place and she lost her besulin. Verabona. Now let's flip around the question the other way. Adam Adami Leila Ba'ula, why did the Rabbanan say that a Mukar Eitz has the status of a Ba'ula? She forfeits her Ksubas Masayim. Is the Dami Lebogeres? Why not assume, as Rabbi Meir does, that Mukar Eitz, since she didn't have a Be'ila Bidei Adam, she maintains her status like a bogeres of Masayim Zuz, despite the fact that there are no besulin? The Gemara answers, bogeres lo is avid ba maisa klal. Ha is avid ba maisa. Which means that basically, Rabosai, the case of Mukar Eitz is in the twilight zone, in the gray area, between two polar extremes. We have bogeres on one hand, and we have Bu'ula Bidei Adam on the other hand. What's common to both cases is that she lost her besulin. In the middle, I would say midway between these two polar extremes, we have the case of Mukar Eitz. Is it like a bogeres, or is it like the case of a Bu'ula? Rabbi Meir says it's like the case of bogeres because Los Avid Ba Maisa Bidei Adam. Rabbi, the Chachamim on the other hand say it's like the case of a Bu'ula because it's Aviba Maisa. So you see, in the case of Bogeres, she lost her besulin with the passage of time. That was natural. There was no episode that occurred, no physical intervention, you know, that could have removed her besulin. In the case of Bu'ula, she had a human intervention. And that's what removed her besulin. How do you classify Mukar Eitz? It's really in the middle. It's a tug of war. You might say it's like a bogeres because it's something that, shall we say, happened in the natural universe without the intervention of a bi'ilah of a bila bidei adam? Or should we say, no, it's not like a natural flow of events. She had an episode. Something came along and removed her basulin. In that sense, it's very similar to Bu'ula. No, it's not similar to Bu'ula, says Rav Meir, because Bu'ula is bidei adam. Here it's not a maisa bidei adam. And that's where we go back and forth, and that's the tug of war. Fine. Now let's go back to Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama says that either way, whether you take Rabbi Meir's approach and Amukah Seitz gets Masayim, or you take the Chachamim's approach that Amukah Seitz gets what? Gets a mana. Either event, that only applies if he knew about it going into the marriage. If she withheld the information, then everybody agrees, lo klum, she forfeits her ksuba entirely. The Gemara says, have a lo hikir ba. Lidirei akol v'lo klum. Is it possible that according to Rami Bar Chama, he could always claim that she loses her ksuba because of toes, meaning I never meant to marry her under these conditions? The conditions were clear that she would be a besula. So the Gemara says, Moser Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, I can ask you a kasha from a Mishnah later on. This Mishnah is on Daf Yud Gimel of an Aleph. A man marries a woman, assuming that she was a Basula. He doesn't find Basula. Right? He says, Pesach Basuch Matzasi, or he didn't find Dam. He omeres, she claims, Mukar Eitzani. I lost my Basula because of some sort of a smack. Vahu omer loki ela drusas ishat. He's claiming that she had a relationship with another man. And again, we're going to have to see the Mishnah later on, so trust me on this. His claim is that before the Erisin, before they went into the marriage at all, right? Every marriage starts with Erisin, 12 months later the Suin. Before the Erisin, she had a relationship with another man. That's his claim. Again, you have to add that because otherwise there's a problem here that she can't live with him. Because if she had a relationship with another man during the Erisin, then we apply the principle of Vinitma'ah, and he has to give her a divorce. We'll soon see that our discussion here in this Mishnah is totally about monetary issues, about the ksuba. Does he pay the ksuba? Does he not pay the ksuba? But there was never an issue regarding maintaining the marriage relationship. So his claim is that already before the Erisin, she had this bi'ilah, and therefore he was totally fooled. He was misled. He thought that he was married to a woman who's never been had, never had a relationship with another man, and he finds out, to his chagrin, to his surprise, to his disappointment, that she had a relationship with another man. Is Rav Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Omrim, Ne'emenes. We believe exactly what she said. He has no proof to establish that she lost her basulim due to a bi'ilah. She's believed, therefore, to claim that the reason she lost her basulim is because of Mukar Eitz. Now, wait a minute. When Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say Ne'emenes, what they're really saying is that she has a chazaka that she's a Mukar Eitz and she gets a ksuba. Because again, as I said before, the whole debate here, the whole issue here is about, revolves around payment to the ksuba. He, the Baal, was claiming that she was a Ba'ula. I don't want to give you a red cent. You don't deserve any ksuba. You fooled me into thinking you're a Basula, now you're a Ba'ula. No, we don't believe his claim, we believe her claim. She gets a ksuba. But wait a second, Rami Bar Chama just told us that if she claims Mukar Eitz after the marriage, after they consummated the marriage, then everybody agrees that she gets nothing because he misled her and he entered into the marriage relationship under the assumption that she was a Besua. Here the Mishnah says we believe in a claim that the reason why he didn't find her to be a basul is because she was a mukat eitz. and yet she collects haksuva. That undermines the shita of Rami Bar Chama. Okay then? And again, we're going to have to come back to this a little bit later, so I hope that everyone is on the same page here. I hear a lot of silence here in the audience. You know, it gets me a little nervous here. Is everybody awake, or what's going on? Again, this is...
We're in the middle of Kashas, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, are you with me? You have the Kash. Again, the Mishnah records the Shita of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. They both agree... I'm sorry, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Gamliel, they both agree that she's believed and she collects haksuba, even though her claim is that the reason why he didn't find Pesulin is because she was a Mukareitz. This is a case of Lohikirba, correct? He entered into the marriage under the premise that she was a Pesula. According to Rabbi Bar Chama, she should forfeit haksuba entirely. Ella Amar Rava. Rava now rejects Rabbi Bar Chama, and he says the following: Bein hikir ba ubein lo hikir ba l'Rabbi Meir Masayin. In other words, when Rabbi Meir equated a mukar eitz with a basula, take it to its logical conclusion: she is a basula. And even if she didn't notify him that she's a mukar eitz, and he found her, he discovered her to be a mukar eitz. Surprise, surprise, but she's still a psula. Because according to Rabbi Meir, the status of a mukar eitz, all the way from beginning to end, is equal to that of a psula. It's like, I'll give you a mashal. Let's say a woman would get married and she withheld her birth date. And he was of the opinion that she was before Bagrus, and it turns out that she was already a Bogeris. Nothing would change because a Bogeris is still a Besula, even though she doesn't have Besula. Ula Rabbanon, but according to the Rabbanon, who say that what? That Mukar Eitz is like a Be'ula, and she only gets what? Mana, correct? Is then Hikirba Mana? If she notified him that she was already a Ba'ula, in quotation marks, I don't mean that literally, but I mean she was a Mukar Eitz who has the same status as a Ba'ula, according to the Chachamim, is Mana. So he writes a Ksuba, and he obligates himself in the Ksuba to pay a Mana, not more. And then Lo Hikirba, then, this is where Rabbi Bar Chama is correct, according to the Chachamim, he married her under the premise that she was a Besula. Lo and behold, he finds her to be a Mukar Eitz. The lo klu, because Koyt Chachamim, what's the status of a Mukar Eitz? A Be'ula. Ah, if she's a Be'ula, then he can claim Mekach Tos. He can claim I was totally misled in this marriage. I married her assuming that she was a Besula. She's a Mukar Eitz who has the same equivalent status as that of Be'ula. Therefore, she forfeits her Ksuba. And therefore, when the Mishnah says that she gets a ksuba, whose shita in the Machlokas Rabbi and Chacham is reflected in that Mishnah? He married her again. Let's go over the Mishnah. Becheskas psula. Turns out that he finds Pesach pasua. She's believed to say it was a Mukar Eitz situation, and she collects her ksuba. That would have to be Rabbi Meir.
What's Divrei HaKol in Rabbi Bar Chama?
No, again, we have no answer yet from Rabbi Bar Chama. Rabbi Bar Chama has been contradicted by the Mishnah. Rava is now arguing with Rabbi Bar Chama. Rava is saying Rabbi Bar Chama is right in the context of the Chachamim, but not in the context of Rabbi Meir. So what Rava opens up now, a little vista, a little window of opportunity, is to explain the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah say that when she misled him, and now she notifies him that she's Mukar Eitz, she collects haksuba? That's the shita of Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir holds that a Mukar Eitz is equivalent exactly to a Besula. And therefore nothing changed over here. Like I gave you the example where she withheld her birthday, and it turns out, to his surprise, she doesn't have Besula because she's already a Bogeris. Nothing changes. But, says Rav, the logic of Rabbi Bar Chama is very compelling within the context of the Chachamim sheet, because the Chachamim equate a Mukad Eitz with a Ba'ula, and therefore if he was misled into believing that she was a Pesula, lo and behold he finds, surprise, surprise, that she's a Mukad Eitz, he can claim Mekach Tos. I married a Pesula and what I got was a Ba'ula. That's because Chachamim have the equation that Mukad Eitz equals a Ba'ula. I mean, if we had a chart here, a flow chart, if we had a blackboard, it would be perfect. You know, we'd have Rav Meir charted out. Rav Meir says Mukad Eitz equals Pesula. Then we have the Chachamim charted out, Mukad Eitz equals Ba'ula. And now we have Rava. Rava says Mukad Eitz, according to Rabbi Meir, insofar as he equates her with a Pesula, gets Masayim. If she misled him and he finds out after the marriage that she was a Mukad Eitz, nothing changes because she was a Pesula and she is a Pesula. According to the Chachamim, though, by equating Mukad Eitz with a Ba'ula, now we have a situation of a man who is misled into believing he's marrying a Pesula, and lo and behold, he discovers that she's a Ba'ula. The deal is off. That's called Mekach Tos. That's not what I bargained for. And the whole Hischaivus of Ksuba, from beginning to end, from soup to nuts, it's all down the tubes. The Hadar Bei Rav. And Rava changed his mind. Now, what we're going to see as we go along, and this is going to take a little bit of a while to figure out how the Gemara knows that Rava changed his mind. The Gemara is going to do a lot of Sherlock Holmes detective work until they can finally establish and prove that according to that Rava changed his mind. But what does it mean Rava changed his mind? Rava's changed his mind in the following. True, I grant you that according to the Chachamim, Mukad Eitz has the same din as a Ba'ula with regard to how much ksuba she can collect. And all we give her is a mana. But it doesn't mean that according to Chachamim, a Mukad Eitz is a Ba'ula. In other words, as far as Mekach Tos is concerned, what we have to say is that the whole deal is off. This is a different woman than the woman I married. Says Rava, again, we'd have to go through a lot of somersaults in the air until we prove this, that you can say that this is not the woman that you married, or that you thought you were marrying, right? In a case of a Ba'ula Mamish, where she had another Ba'ula. But in the case of a Mukad Eitz, we're not going to go as far as to say that the whole deal is off, and it's Mamish and Mekach Tos. That's how Rava's going to change his mind. But at this point, Rava went on record as saying that since the Chachamim equate Mukad Eitz with a Ba'ula, we have to take that the full 9 yards. Straight across the board, no exception. It means he married a Pesula and he found her to be a Ba'ula, the whole deal is off. Says the Gemara, Rava rescinded that position. Okay. You see, Rabosai, the question of Mukad Eitz really comes down to something called kpeda. Kpeda means, let's say for example, I order a table and you deliver a table with a scratch on it, or I order an automobile and it comes with a scratch on it. Kpeda means, sometimes you may get a handle that has to be replaced. You buy a house and the handle has to be replaced, the door has to be replaced. But sometimes you find something that a person is makpid about. He's very careful. He would never have gotten into this. I wanted a new house. I wanted a new automobile. And now I find that it was used, it was scratched. That's not what I bargained for. So every case of a Mekach Tos is based on or generated by what we call Kpeda. The Gemara is going to prove that according to Rava, in his final position, there's no such thing as Kpeda vis-a-vis the whole marriage. Because he finds her to be a Mukad Eitz. Mukad Eitz is not enough to generate kpeda. What it's enough would be to lower her ksuba. It was a special gift that was given to a besula, and we upgrade her ksuba by 100% from mana to masayim. And if a woman ever had this irua, she had this situation where she lost her besula through a maisa, then according to Chachamim, she's like a ba'ula. But that's only as far as ksuba is concerned. The hischaivus ksuba would only go as far as mana and not as far as masayim. She's a ba'ula as far as ksuba's mana. But that doesn't engender such a kapeda that the man has a right to say, well, I didn't want to marry this woman. What do you mean you didn't want to marry this woman? Because she was a mukar eitz? Maybe there are other nations on the face of the earth which would adopt that position, but we're not going to adopt that position. We're not going to say that because she fell on a piece of wood and she lost her psulin, therefore she's a different entity, a different identity. Okay, you want to withhold a special, you know, the Arabs call it a chupar. The Israelis adopted that phrase. Right? You give her a special gift because she's a basula, and he gets a certain chen, so for that chen he pays an extra money. Which again, I don't understand how that works, but that's how it works. So in the case of Mukad Eitz, the Chachamim maintained that since she had this episode, she loses that extra chen, and therefore we reduce her ksuba to that of a mona of a bula. But it doesn't mean that essentially she's a bula, she didn't have any relationship with another man, she's the same Isha, she had an Iruah, okay, but she's not. And therefore the Gemara is going to now, for the rest of the sugya, push, this is the agenda that they were pushing the envelope, that there's no such thing as mekach tos, that she should lose her entire ksuba just because she's a mukar eitz. That doesn't make any sense. You can claim that this chayvus for ksubas besula, this chayvus for ksubas mukar eitz are two different kinds of chayvus. How far do you go? Mono masayim. But it's not enough to completely undermine and create kapeda. Okay, now we go off on this whole, you know, embark on this journey to try to prove that that's the case. And there are many different parts of this journey, so you have to really hold cup, as we said. Where do we find that Rava rescinded his position? Desanya. We go back to a brisa. Ketzad hotzah shemra. Hotzah shemra means a man consummates his marriage with this girl, and then he comes running into Beis Din and he starts slandering her and saying that he found her to be a ba'ula. Correct? Bala Beis Din v'omar ploni lomatzasi l'bitcha b'sulin. He addresses the father, and the reason he's addressing the father is because this Hotzah Shemra, in the case of a young girl who's a basula or assumed to be a basula, is a girl who's up to but not beyond Bagrus, meaning she's less than 12 and a half years old. And the Torah imposes a strict penalty of Mea Kesef on a Motzi Shemra if we can disprove his claim, his slander, you know, if we can establish that he was slandering her when he said that he didn't find her to be a basula. By the way, there's another part to Motzi Shemra which is not relevant to us, and that is that if we discover that he was a Motzi Shemra, we can produce evidence, he has to marry her and remain married to her for the rest of his life, unless she wants out of the marriage. And that's called Velosia Leisha. That's something that we discussed at great length in the Sechta Makis, when we learned Makis. Okay, what happened here? Im yesh edim shezinsa tachtov. Now this line that we're reading now in the Brice is immediately going to be struck down. So keep in mind that the next line here is completely ridiculous. It says, Im yesh edim shezinsa tachtov. We have witnesses that testify that between the Kedushin and the Nisun she had another relationship. Yesh la ksubas mana. She collects a ksuba. So the Gemara immediately, even without, you know, without finish, you know, don't take a breath of air, says him, Yesh Eidim Shezinsa Tachtov. The two witnesses that she was Mizana during the Erisin is Baskilahi. She has to be put to death. She's an Eishas Isha Zinsa. Hachikoma. Now I'm a little confused here. Usually the Gemara's language is slightly different. It shouldn't have said hachikam, it should have said chisure mechser of a hachikam. Because the Gemara's going to insert a whole line here into this brisa. Hachikam, this is how you read the brisa. Im yesh edim shezinsa tachtov b'skila, then we put it to death. But zinsa meikara, If the Eidim testify that she had Znus before the Erusin, Yeshla Ksubas Mana, she'll collect a Ksuba of a Bu'ula. A Bu'ula gets Mana. The Omer Abchiyo Bar Av and Omer Avsheshes Zosomeris, what do we derive from this Braisa? Kansa Becheskas Besula. Right, in the case of Otzi Shemra, he married her under the assumption that she is a Besula. V'nimtzeis Bu'ula. The Eidim testified that she had Bia before the Erusin. Is Yeshla Ksubas Mana? She does collect the Ksubas Mana. Again, why is this so? Because now, according to Rav Sheshes, and this is a very extreme opinion, Rav is not going to go this far, but according to Rav Sheshes, even in the toes, between Besula and Be'ula, there is no Kpeda, to the extent that he wants out of the marriage, and he can say the whole deal was off, and it was a Mekatos. No. He was mischayev to Ksubas Masayim. That ischayevus is completely null and void because it was predicated on misinformation. But he has to pay her ischayevus of Ksubas Mana. And clearly the marriage could go on and on and on. Fine. So again, Rabosai, what we have here is, please mark it on your record, on your, you know, on your calendar here, that according to Rav Sheshes, if a man marries a woman assuming she's a Basula, and he, lo and behold, he discovers that she's a Ba'ula, she gets money. There's no deal of Mekachtos. Now keep in mind, Rava in his original statement, which again we're going to prove soon that he rescinded, maintained that if he found her to be a Mukat Eitz, according to the Chachomim, Mekachtos, the whole deal is off. How much more so if he found it to be a Ba'ula, the whole deal is off. That's in Rava's original statement. In Rava's final statement, he's going to say no. If he found it to be a Ba'ula, then the whole deal is off. But if he found it to be a Mukat Eitz, then he pays her a mana. Rav Sheshes went even a step further. Rav Sheshes now is claiming that if he found it to be a Ba'ula, nevertheless she gets a Ksubas mana. That far Rava is not going to go. Masiv Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman turns to Rav Chiya bar Avin and he says the following. How could Rav Sheshes make such a claim that if a man marries a woman assuming she's a Mesula and he finds her to be a Ba'ula, it's not a Mekatos and he has to pay her a Ksubas Ba'ula? We have a Mishnah later on. Now this Mishnah is really the Reisha of the Mishnah that we quoted earlier. The Mishnah we quoted earlier is on Daf Yud Gimel. This Mishnah we're quoting now is on Daf Yud Beis. Hanose es ha'isha v'lo matzal ha'besulim. Hi omeres misharastani nenasti. She says that she was raped after the Erusin. And that's tough luck for you, my friend. It's like a person buys a field and the and it's inundated by a flood and the field is ruined. So you bought it, there was a contractual agreement, and now you have to suffer the losses. Here also, you entered into the marriage, and at that point, she was a Basula, according to her claim. And therefore, if she now had a rape situation, this tafcha sadeh, it's his hefse. Hu omer, but he's claiming, lo, ki el, that's not what happened. Ela ad shelo arestich. You had a Be'ila relationship before the Erusin. V'haya mekhi mekachtos. The Mishnah says explicitly that his claim is that he found her to be a Ba'ula, and if he wants out, that finding, discovering a woman to be a Ba'ula when he assumed she was a Mesula is a real Kpeda, and it undermines the very Das for Kiddushin, and therefore the whole deal is off. It's a mekachtos v'les la klal. She cannot collect even a dime of her ksuba. And this Mishnah presents an explicit contradiction to Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes was of the opinion, based on the Braisa of Motzi Shemra, that if he married her under the assumption she was a Besula and he found her to be a Ba'ula, she collects mana, she gets a Ksubas Ba'ula. Whereas this Mishnah is predicated on the premise that if he finds her to be a Ba'ula, there's real Kpeda, it's a Mekachtos, and she doesn't get anything. So this is what Rav Nachman asks to Rav Chiya bar Avin about Rav Sheshes. How could Rav Sheshes say such a thing? The Amar Lahu Rav Chiya Bar Ovin. Rav Chiya Bar Ovin responds to Rav Nachman. Efshar, could it be that there's an explicit proof from a Mishnah against Rav Sheshes? How could that be? Rav Amram v'chol g'doli ador yosvi ki yavar Rav Sheshes lo shmaitita. Historically, I can testify, says Rav Chiya, that the time that Rav Sheshes presented his thesis, the g'dole hador were sitting there. I don't know, maybe it was a shir kloli, I don't know exactly, but all the g'dole were there. And the kashale, how could it be that this question was raised against Rav Sheshes? Vishani and Rav Sheshes said, no, that Mishnah does not mean what you think it means. So again, what's happening here is Rav Chiya is saying that this dialogue, this shaklavitaria in which Rav Sheshes presented his thesis and the proof against Rav Sheshes was invoked by Rav Nachman from a Mishnah, that took place in the presence of all the G'dolei Yisrael. And Rav Sheshes got up, apparently at that the great debate, that public debate in front of all the G'dolim, and he responded, no, Rav Nachman, you're misinterpreting the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah mean when it says Mekach Tos? Nami Mimasayim. The Mishnah is only talking about Mekach Tos in terms of his Ischaivus to Perek Subas Pesua. Because in fact, he found that she had a Be'ila before Erisin. And therefore, when he was Mishayev to pay a Masayim, he was mistaken. And therefore, she can only get half of Masayim. Avol Mona Isla, but she does get a Mona. V'at Amrit, and you, Rav Nachman, understood the Mishnah to say, Les La Klal Mekatos means Legamri, and she gets nothing. V'omar Rav Nachman, Manda Komosiv, Shapir Komosiv. Rava took the side of Rav Nachman against Rav Sheshes. He was definitely on board with Rav Nachman that from the Mishnah it seems that if he married her, assuming she was a Basula, and he discovers that she was a Ba'ula, the Mekach Tos is Legamre, complete total Mekach Tos, V'yein Lo Klum, she doesn't get any money from the Ksuba. Mekach Tos Legamre Mashma. So you see that Rava now maintains that if a woman is discovered to be a Ba'ula, then certainly it's a complete Mekach Tos. Now what that means in terms of the marriage, we'll get back to in just a minute. This is really the place to talk about it, but I just want to read another two lines in the Gemara. The Ela Kashahach. What about the Brice of Motzi Shemra? The Brice of Motzi Shemra says that if she had Znus before the Erisin, she gets a Ksuvas Mona. Tritz V'Emahachi. Here's how you have to interpret the Brisa, says Rava. In Yesh Eidim Shezinsa Tachta Beskila, Zinsa Meikar, if she had Znus before the Erisin Velo Klum, she doesn't have a Ksuba at all, but Nimtzeis Mukar Eitz Yesh La Ksubas Mona. Thus Rava adds not one line into this Brisa, but two lines into this Brisa. Rava says that in what case does a Brisa say that she gets a mana? Not in the case where she adds Znus before the Erisin. That's already a Mekach Tos Legamre. But if we discover that she's a Mukar Eitz, then she gets Ksubas Mana. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? But Rava who the Omar, Rava said before that L'Rabbanan Koyk T'Chachomim Rabbi Meir Lo Hikir Bav Lo Klum, that if he didn't know that she was a Mukar Eitz and he found her to be a Mukar Eitz, it's a whole Mekach Tos. Ela Shmamina Hader Be Rava Me'ahi. Now we have the proof that Rava rescinded his original position, and Rava holds Lamaskana that in the case of Mukar Eitz, whether it was Hikirba, whether it was Lo Hikirba, she always gets, according to the Chachamik, Subas Mana, and that's not a Mekach Tos. But if she was a Ba'ula and he didn't know that she was a Ba'ula, then for sure she loses her entire Ksuba, and that's called the Mekach Tos. Okay, now let's fill in a couple of the blanks here. Let's go back to Ella Amar Rav, just a few lines earlier. Rav says that Rami Bar Chama is incorrect, and according to the Rabbanon, Lo Hikir Ba, and he finds that it be a Mukareitz, then she get is Ein La Ksuba Klal, according to Rav's original position. But according to Rabbi Meir, there's no difference between Hikir Ba and Lo Hikir Ba, because Rabbi Meir identifies a Mukareitz as a Basula. Correct? Okay. Now what I want to learn with you is Rashi, Dibra Maska Velo Hikir Ba Velo Klum. Can you find that Rashi? It's right before the wide lines of Rashi at the bottom of your page. The Ha Lo Matzinu LeMeimar LeRabbi Meir Hikir Ba Masayim Lo Hikir Ba Mana. Rashi raises the following question here. Isn't there a middle of the road path according to Rabbi Meir? Why can't we assume, why couldn't Rava present the following possibility, that according to Rabbi Meir, true, a Mukad Eitz gets a Ksubas Masayim, but that's only if she notified him, if she withheld that information, and he anticipated Basulin, and lo and behold, to his chagrin, he finds that it'd be a Mukad Eitz, then we should lower Haksuba to a mana. Why does Rav insist that Bain Hikirba, Bain Lo Hikirba, according to Rabbi Meir, B'masayim? Says Rashi, De'i, B'mekach Tos, Machzikinen Le. If we would assume that in the case of Lo Hikirba, it should be a Mekach Tos, Mishum de lo hikirba les lamidi. How do you interpret this Rashi? The ibe mekach tos machzikinen le. If you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Meir there's an issue of mekach tos because she pulled a surprise, a fast one, and lo and behold he finds out that she's a mukareitz, is then she shouldn't get anything. So this mana is not a fair compromise. The love mekach tos. But now you're going to have to tell me that she gets a ksuba because it's not a mekach tos. Ah, if that be the case, if it's not a mekach tos, ha ein chiluk bein hikirba lilo hikirba. So basically, I think what Rashi is saying here is that this is the law of the excluded middle here. It's one extreme or the other. Either you maintain, according to Rava, again before he rescinds his position, that it is a mekatos, and therefore she gets nothing. Or, if it's not a mekatos, she gets the full ksuba. But to say that because she withheld the information, we reduce her ksuba from a mana, from a masayim to a mana, that is excluded. That's not a possibility. And if you look at Tosus, Dibra Maskel Rabbanon, he says, Masnisin Rabbi Meir, Ivalo Rabbanon, Vim Tomar, Amailo Kaomar, Rabbanon, Bein Hikirba, Bein Lo Hikirba, Mana. Kid the Omar Bemaskana, the Tasi Masnisin, Lidiriako, Yeshlama Delo Namale, Delo Nichale, Le Maymar Hachi, the Kaman Del Rabbanon, De Rabbanon, Midamilu, Lebuula, Havi Klo Hikirba, Havi Lo Hikirba, Kimo Kansa Becheskas Besuvin Imtes Beula, Usvirle Delesle Velo Klum. So basically, Tosis is sort of using the logic that we saw in Rashi, but in a different context. But the logic is one and the same. He's saying, in the Rabbanan's frame of reference, you cannot say that Lo Hikirba she gets a mana, because Rabbanon are of the opinion that if a person marries a Basul and he finds it to be a Ba'ula, it's a Mekach Tos Legamre, she gets nothing. And that's what Mekach Tos means. Since the Rabbanon hold that a Mukar Eitz has the same status as a Basula, therefore we should apply the principle of Mekach Tos. And therefore, how could it be that according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer in the Mishnah, when he claims that she was a I'm sorry, when she claims that she was a mukat eitz, then she does collect, if we believe her, she does collect a ksuba. That can't work out according to the Chachamim, because Chachamim apply the principle of mekatos. And Rashi says, in a similar vein, that it couldn't be that according to Rabbi Meir, Rava would maintain that she goes down one notch from a ksubas masayim to a ksubas mana, because there is no such possibility. Either it's a mekatos, or she gets the full ksuba. That's one thing I wanted to point out to you. The second thing I wanted to point out to you is much simpler. How could it be that Rav is maintaining that Mishnah, Daf Yud Gimel, is authored by Rabbi Meir? I mean, shouldn't Rabbi Meir's name have appeared in the Mishnah? So this, the Ritva says, is a principle called Stam Mishnah Libid Rabbi Meir. That we find a Mishnah that doesn't have any name to it, an anonymous Mishnah, we assume it's authored by Rabbi Meir. Okay, now Hadar Bei Rav. Rav changes his mind, and Rav holds that in the case of Mukat Eitz, there's no Mekatos, and she gets a mud. Why? Because there's no Kpeda on the difference between a Besula and a Mukat Eitz to undermine the entire Ksuba. So here I wanted to share with you Tosus Dibra Maschel Hadar Bey. And let me just summarize the main point of this Tosus Hadar Bey, and then maybe we'll read it inside. Tosus says that Rava did not rescind his position that if a man marries a woman assuming she's a Besula and she finds that, and he finds that he discovers her to be a Be'ula, then it's a Mekaptos and she doesn't get anything. That far we're not going to be willing to go, says Tosus. When it says Hadar Bei Rava, it's only Hadar Bei Rava from the case where he finds it to be a Mukat Eitz, but not in the case where he finds it to be a Be'ula. Why? Because the answer is that Rava is going to say later on, if you recall, against Rav Sheshes, like Rav Nachman, that when the Mishnah says Mekartos, it means Bepashtus Mekachtos legamrei mashma, correct? So what's the case? The Mishnah says, Anosias ish lo motz lo besulin, right? And she says the scaffold. So they find, Hu omer ajlo restich vohoyim mekri mekachtos. And Rava says, mekri mekachtos means legamrei mashma. So therefore, Rava could not possibly rescind the position of mekachtos in all cases, meaning even in the extreme case where he married her as a Besula and he found it to be a Be'ula. In that case, for sure, Rava would hold that Mekachtos Legamri Mashma. So therefore, says Tosus, what does it mean, Hadar Bei Rava? And he has a girsa of Hadar Bei Rava Me'ahi. Me'ahi means from that position. That Rava was of the position that in the case of the Rabbanon, if he didn't know that she was a Mukat Eitz and he discovered to be a Mukat Eitz, it's a complete total toes, and she doesn't get anything. That position, Rava rescinded. Okay, the last thing I wanted to discuss with you in the sugya that we did until now is the question of what does Mekatos Legamri Mashma mean? And here there's a machlokes, how to interpret this. The most extreme position is that Mekatos means he's out of the whole marriage. She doesn't even need a get. The whole marriage was entered into under the false premises. And if he want to remain married to her, he'd have to start from scratch. The other position is a little less extreme. That mekatos here means not that he's completely, you know, the marriage is completely dissolved. You know, it was a mekatos on the marriage. But what it means is that if he wants to continue married to her, he doesn't need a brand new kiddushin. The old kiddushin is still intact. But if he decides to divorce her, then as far as ksuba is concerned, it's a total mekatos. There's not even a schaivus for a be'ula, which is a mana, because he was of the opinion, under the impression that she was a besula. Now here, Rabosa, I have a problem. Maybe you could help me with it. Just thinking out loud. What does it mean, Mekachtos? And Mekachtos means that This is not what I bargained for. Why is it that the marriage is still intact and yet the ksuba is completely gone? If the ksuba is gone, which means that he could claim tos on the ksuba, she can't even claim mana now because he found it to be a ba'ula, then the marriage should be absolved. Completely absolved. Is there such a word, absolved?
Dissolved.
Dissolved, sorry. Dissolved. And yet these mafarshim insist that he doesn't have to start with a brand new kiddushin. He'll have to write her another ksuba, because as I said before, he can't live with her without a ksuba.
What's the ksuba going to say? He owes her nothing?
Ah. No. He's going to have to give her a ksuba's bu'ula. What we're offering here in Mekartos is the possibility of divorcing her, and the whole ksuba's gone. But if he wants to remain married to her, so one sheet says he's not married to her at all. So he's got a mamish start from scratch. The other sheet says he can remain married and he can maintain the original marriage and sustain it, so to speak. But again, he's got to write a ksuba. Now, the ksuba now will be a ksuba's ba'ula. So she'll only get mana. So what did he gain by this whole tararam? The only thing he gained is that instead of paying a masayim when the day comes, he'll only pay her mana. Which is basically true even if I dissolve the marriage, because if he wants to remarry her, he's going to give her a ksubas bu'ula, which is a ksubas mana. So the real nafkamina between the two shittas is whether or not he has to marry her, remarry her, in order to be married to her. Is the marriage completely null and void the very moment that he claims mekartos? So the only thing I want to point out here is, and I think we've hinted at this before, earlier tonight, is that there. When we talk about mekartos, mekartos means the das is an invalid das, because it was a das that was predicated on a mistake. So what I want to point out is, and I think it's obvious, that there are two deos here, right? There's one das for the marriage itself, and there's another das for the ksuba. One is das kiddushin and ishus, and the other is das ischayvus for a masayim zuz. What we're saying is, as far as the das ischayvus for ksuba, that's a total mekartos. And therefore I have a right to go out of this marriage, give her a divorce, and not pay her a penny. But, according to this school of thought, if he wants to maintain the marriage, and he doesn't want to give her a divorce, he doesn't have to remarry her, because that's a different das. That's a das of Ishus. And a das of Kiddushin and Ishus is not Tos. Why? Because the difference between a Basula and a Ba'ula is not so radical that it would generate Ekpeda. We have now a right for him to divorce her without paying the ksuba. That is within his rights. But if he wants to remain married to her, he can do so. But at the end of the day, he'll have to write a new ksuba, because the old ksuba is completely null and void. It's invalid because the ksuba is psula. Now he has to write her ksuba's mana, ksuba's pu'ula. Again, what about the case where he married her under the premise that she was a basula and he finds her to be a mukar eitz? According to the sheet of Rabbi Meir, we've completely rejected Rami Bar Chama. Right? Because Rami Bar Chama, again, let's review, said that Bain le Rabbi Meir and Bain le Chachamim is mekartos. Let me just double check that, am I right? Omer Rabbi Bar Chama, Machlokus Miksha Hikerba, etc., etc. I'm a low Hikerba. Dimri Akol, even Rameir would assume low clue. So that we rejected. We're not going to say that finding her, according to Rameir, to be, discovering her to be a Mukar Eitz, is a Mekartos. That's for sure not true, because Rabbi Meir maintains that a Mukar Eitz has the same identical status as a Basu. But according to Chachamim, here we find Rava vacillating. There's the Hava, meaning the original position of Rava, and there's the Maskon of Rava's final position. In his first original position, Rava said that there are two dinim over here. There's one din that according to the Rabbanon, just the opposite. In Rabbis Hamamina, his original position is one din, and that din is that according to Chachamim, a mukat eitz is the same as a bu'ula. And again, Rava never wavered at all that if he discovers that it'd be a bu'ula, then the whole deal is off. Again, whether that means the whole marriage is off or the whole ksuba is off, marketisle machlokas rishonim. But certainly it's mekatos legamri. Rava in his maskana makes a chiluk between discovering how to be a bu'ula and discovering how to be a mukat eitz. Discovering how to be a mukat eitz, even though a mukat eitz has the same status as basula, that's only as far as the schaivus of Masayim. There's no schaivus of Masayim in the case of a mukat eitz, because her status is that of a bu'ula. But as far as Kpeda is concerned, to say that he wants out, and his whole schaivus from soup to nuts was betos, that Rava says the maskon is not so. Then we have the sheet of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes wants to say that even if he married a Becheskas Besula and he finds it to be a Belula, she still gets a Ksubas Meir. And that the Gemara completely rejects.